What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 404 Show on this Friday, July 28th, 2017. My name is Jeff Backler. I'm joined by Russ Frushtick as usual. Hello, Mr. Frushtick.
Look what I brought to the podcast.
Oh, you brought a ball. That's going to do wonders for our audio listeners.
It's a Spalding high bounce ball. Is everyone familiar with this?
I don't know. Ben Fox Rubin, do you know what a Spalding, what is it?
High bounce ball. It's like a pink.
It's a racquetball.
Is it pink?
That is pink. Okay. All right, colorblind.
I'm totally out of my element.
Why?
Because I didn't realize we were doing show and tell. Yeah. I would have brought something.
You know, I was inspired.
Here's my wallet.
Here are my glasses. Right. Check out this pen I got.
I have a Blimpy coupon.
I don't know. For people that know Spalding high bounce balls, I think it might be a New York thing. Like
it's like a handball ball.
Handball is like a big thing in New York, especially for like kids in the 1920s, as they were escaping the Dust Bowl, they came to New York to play handball.
Right, when they were done playing roll this wheel with a stick down the lane.
They would play handball.
They'd play handball in between.
Yeah, and so I was, my wife bought hiking boots recently at this sporting goods store in New York City, and they gave us a $10 gift certificate for like another time.
They took a look at you like, you'll never be back.
Exactly. I was like, I will show them. Unfortunately, everything there is super overpriced.
Right.
And the only thing I could buy was this high bounce ball and some bug spray. But you know what? I showed them. Take that.
I don't know. Like, I feel like gift certificates, like stuff like that, like I almost never use them.
Yeah,
that's why I want to use them. Yeah. I want to show them.
No, but
I'm going to come back.
Well, not only that, but like it works to their benefit.
Yeah,
They're trying to get you to spend
$20.
No, I bet you probably didn't.
Yeah,
I did. I spent slimy $4 over the gift certificate.
Well, there you go. Oh, yeah.
Guess
they got you.
$4 more than you're not giving you the gift certificate.
And then I would have spent.
Did you play handball or are you just showing it to us?
I really love high bounce balls. Is that weird?
Russ just made this like Ebenezer Scrooge smile.
It's not like being into S&M. It's okay to be into high bounce balls.
It's not like popping that. What was it? The tickling documentary that everyone was listening to?
Tickled. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it's not like that. I just find it very satisfying to like at the beach to throw them or just to like bounce them in my apartment. I don't know. I find it really satisfying.
You're a weird guy.
That is the weirdest thing I've heard all day.
It's like, wherever I go in life, I like to have a bouncy ball.
I really like grilled cheese. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's not
keep
that
one
weird.
In your pocket. That's not that weird. That's what I'm saying.
It's weird.
It's the equivalent, it's the old timey equivalent of fidget spinners. Is what I'm going to say.
Is the ball? No. What is the 19?
No, it'd be the cup and ball, maybe.
Ball in a cup.
Or that weird, you know, that metal thing? It had like the spindle in the center of it and it like used magnets.
A yo-yo?
No. No, it used magnets to like maintain the spindle on the two like railings. And it went up and down.
I had one of those.
That would be like old timey. The thing
that
spinner.
You could, anyone using it would look like an expert.
Like you were a god, but it was the easiest thing in the world.
You know, if you want to take a second, I'm a fidget spinner defender.
Me too.
But at the same time, so here's where I take umbrage with the fidget spinner revolution that has encompassed popular culture.
I didn't know it was still a thing, but
I guess
it's not
a thing anymore. It's like if it was at 100% a month ago, it's at like 80 now, right?
I have one on my desk and whenever I remember it's there, I enjoy picking it up and using it.
So my problem with it is that like, I don't like that people are saying like it's a prescription for my ADD. Like
stupid.
Get out of here. Okay.
Moronic.
Let's not.
I buy it. Sorry.
I buy it.
That's fine.
My problem is not that people with ADD find comfort in that. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying like it's
I have
path.
ADD, Jeff. What
I
are
know,
saying?
Russ. I'm just saying like its
saying?
Path to popularity shouldn't be that.
It's bullshit marketing. What do you want?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like it shouldn't be marketing like that.
Here's what I'm going to say though. Speaking of someone with ADD, I do find when I'm reading long reads on the internet of like long articles or whatever, wherever, using the fidget spinner while reading the long reads, I do find that I focus better.
There you go. That totally makes sense.
And I think it's because my hands are occupied, so I'm not like using the mouse to like do other shit. And it like does make me like read more accurately.
Look, I'm looking forward to that weird cube thing. You know the weird cube thing that's like the fidget cube?
Yeah, that preceded it.
I would
I got one
love
for my wife.
That. Somebody buy me one of
They're
those.
They're fun. They're fun. I play with those while I watch TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, I brought this up because I'm an apologist. I'm a defender.
Yeah. Can I ask something though? As far as like why do people do that? Like why do we need to fidget with things with our hands?
You're gonna have
while
to talk
we're doing
to
stuff.
A neurologist.
Like, is there like some weird monkey thing in our brains? Thing.
This is my guess.
Always be
our
active.
Our brains are not designed. We're designed for survival, right? Like. Fight or flight and like looking for danger and
designed,
stuff like that.
But
whatever.
I know what you're
no,
saying.
But like in our DNA is programmed mm-hmm. that stuff in the right. same way all animals are.
Deep coding.
So yeah. if you are, let's say, just reading a book, the rest of your brain is like, wait, what's going on over here?
is there a jaguar here? Behind me?
Right, exactly. Is there a dinosaur that's going to bite my head off?
Oh, yeah. People are like,
oh, yeah. He's a caveman dinosaur apologist.
Flintstones.
I've been to the creationist museum.
right.
I saw a gazoo. He flew in and.
So you think.
I think that's what it is.
That may be part of it, but that would mean that you would be able to circumvent that part of your brain with something that simple as a fidget spinner.
I think so.
The
brain is easily fooled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, M.C. Escher. Am I right?
I don't know. I might be dreaming right now.
You can't just say M.C. Escher. Am I right?
Those stairs, they go nowhere. It's a fish. It's a bird. You don't know. Your brain gets confused.
Okay. I'll throw out my theory.
The woman that's also a vase.
Right. My theory is probably pretty stupid, but okay. I think like during our like ape monkey years, millennia ago, we would always have to like be picking like grubs and different things off of our friends.
Sure.
So that's where the fidget spinner came from. That's like the new version of
that. No, I don't buy that.
No?
No. Because grubs, that was a survival thing. That was like for food that you did that. It wasn't just for funsies.
I thought it was for funsies.
No, they were eating the bugs.
They're eating the bugs, but they're also cleaning their friends.
I'm not there.
I think it was a mutual.
I'm sorry. I'll
jump into the deep end of the pool with you more times than not.
Do you but think
not
this I'm one. Closer no. to right?
I think you're both wrong.
But like, who's closer to right?
I think I don't know. There's obviously a cognitive scientific explanation for why we have the desire to fidget. Why most humans, like you ask, I feel again, this is unscientific, but I feel like if you ask a lot of people. Like a huge sample, the majority will say like, "Yeah, I fidget. I flick my ear, I pick my nose, I do, you know, whatever it is. I play with my hair.
Right.
Whatever it is. I who doesn't do that? Right.
Okay.
So there is a reason we're doing that.
Sure.
It's not just like you know your brain short circuiting. Like there's a reason why there's this.
But is it because my grandpa ate bugs, or is it because there's a dinosaur behind me?
I think it might have to.
It's one of them.
I think it might have to do with like an alertness, you know, leftover.
Okay,
sort of
so
thing.
You're in the Russ camp.
Yeah, it's definitely not the ape brain thing that you were trying to go with, right?
I'm gonna. You're throw just, it out there that that was not a fully baked idea.
That was a
but I was yeah,
idea.
That was pretty half baked idea to be like, well, you know, they busied their hands by eating grubs off their friends. Maybe it had something to do with that.
That's
but
okay, that's how
your skepticism is totally appropriate.
All right, I just want to make sure I'm right there. All right, there's a few things I want to get to today, and you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but then at the last minute when you said you were going to join us today, Ben, we gotta mention the Bezos news.
Oh yeah, right? Oh yeah. I was hoping we would talk about this.
He's now the poorest American in the history of Americans, and I just...
You know, everyone said you can't make money selling books, and they were right.
No, this poor guy.
Look, I'm sure, I don't know, how much of their revenue now is based around books? It's probably a decent amount.
It's a decent amount.
E-books.
E-books. Actually, no.
No.
I think it's 5%.
There's some studies. It's you're quizzing me on this that I don't have those numbers like at my fingertips, but there are probably some third party research that I could point to. It's not like Amazon breaks it out at all.
Right.
They're like, this is
like,
how much we're making off of books versus
certainly.
Electronics versus this thing.
I feel like the overhead on books is very low. Like they do not make a ton of money on books.
Yeah, it's free. Well, no, I think
what
it's
I do
free
know
to make
is that they're like. Super dominant when it comes to online books. Like they sell almost all the online books, especially ebooks. Like Barnes and Noble barely has anything on them when it comes to like online book sales. So if you're going to buy a book online, it's going to be from Amazon.
How long is Barnes and Noble going to exist?
you keep wondering if, like, I mean, like, they've been at death's doorstep, you would think, for a really long time.
Well, they did,
but
close, like, a shitload of stores.
Right. But like, they're still trucking. Yeah. They're still going on there.
I guess people like bookstores still.
Yeah, there's something still genuine and novel about those things. I mean, you know, I think they're going to stay open in great intersections of humanity. Like,
well, the college bookstores probably have a good chance. That's a separate business.
You think?
No, yeah.
The college bookstore? The Barnes & Noble?
Online. Everyone buys those textbooks online.
That's true.
But
that's
saying, like,
especially the college, because they're up on the internet.
They've heard of it.
the interwebs.
Just, you know, but look at, like, you know, where the surviving Barnes & Noble stores are. They're in these great mecca cities, and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're not, you know, the one in, like, Dill Hole, Idaho is probably closed.
Yeah, but I feel like people hate those bookstores, right? Like, if you're super into books, you're going to go to, like, an indie bookstore, right? Yeah, like Strand or some other friggin' name I've never heard of.
For the atmosphere than the selection.
I don't know.
You just go there to try to, I don't know, look erudite. Yeah.
I want to say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, going to Barnes & Noble was like a weekly thing I did.
Okay.
Where I just loved being in that store.
You just, like, looked through the Calvin & Hobbes books?
I would definitely go there. I would look at all the new releases. I would buy books that I wound up never reading. I would just, like, loved being a part of that culture.
The Barnes & Noble culture.
The Barnes & Noble culture of, like, fake readers.
Yes.
The fake readers
Barnes & Noble. You get yourself a little Starbucks thing.
Yeah,
walk
you
around.
Drink a little coffee. You, like,
ooh, there's a new dude. Berry collection.
Exactly. I would be like, I would go into, like, the humor place. I would go into the comics.
What happened to those days?
They're gone. They turned into ones and zeros.
What happened to us?
That's not anything. Don't look at that with, like, regret and nostalgia. You can look at it as nostalgia, but I think at the end of the day, the progress forward has been positive.
You know what is weird, though? This might be a minor segue, but the Kindle hasn't changed in, like, 7 years.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It doesn't. No, it has changed, but it doesn't need to make a dramatic change.
But the, like, updates that they've made, I don't think anyone likes.
It's just a box. It's a box where you get your books.
Ink e-reader.
Right. But that's it. That's all you need. The only thing they improve is the back of the screen is whiter.
Right.
Because they want it to look more like the page. Lighting. And the lighting, which was substantial. But they don't need to really improve that. I mean, that thing,
like,
is kind of perfect.
Paper hasn't changed in so long.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you know, now you're hitting on an important subject to me.
Why?
Everybody should switch to wipes. I know it's going to destroy
it's really
the sewage
bad,
system.
Dude.
I know.
It's really bad.
It's a huge difference.
Well, no, see, I do.
You own your house. You're going to mess up your plumbing.
I'm not saying I use wipes all the time.
Okay.
But I am definitely a wipes apologist.
I think,
or like a wipes defender.
I think there's a happy medium. I don't think you should stay exclusively wet wipes. Because to me, it's like, well, you're just asking for trouble.
So you stand up and it's wet?
What?
No.
Things are wet down there?
No.
It's like you just use a bidet.
It's not soaking wet.
Yeah, it's just a wet wipe. It's damp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, the hell kind of wipes are you using? Yeah.
I haven't used wipes.
I had two friends years ago. That basically did an intervention on me.
On you.
We were at dinner and they were like, you've never tried this?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it
we're hanging
like,
out at dinner.
Hey, guess what? We've been smelling something.
Oh,
you need more work.
No,
how the hell did
no,
that happen?
But thank you. I wasn't thinking of that.
Yeah.
No. They were like, Ben, you stink and you're disgusting.
Oh, man.
And here's some cologne.
What a shitty situation
that
would be.
What a shitty situation indeed.
So, what happened? You went.
I never looked back. I mean, like, I don't. You're right. I
Is
own
the
my
whole
house
family
now.
On them now?
Well, I have twin babies, so they're definitely using them, obviously.
Now that they have a choice.
My wife she like dabbles a little bit more, but like I've become somewhat more religious about it.
What about
it.
The squatty potty?
The squatty potty, I've never tried, but that's another one of these things that like people go crazy about.
That,
and they're like, once they've tried it, they're like, this is incredible.
But then you have to have that in your bathroom.
Yeah, but that's just like, it makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's a great conversation piece, too. See, if people see it in your bathroom, they're like, squatty potty, really?
Yeah. I shouldn't bedazzle it.
Yeah.
Can we not? We were talking about Jeff Bezos being the richest person in the world briefly, and then he got dethroned again, right?
Right.
So explain that to me. Like in 24
hours.
It's
all based off of Amazon stock. So he owns 17% of Amazon.
That's crazy.
Which is somewhere to the tune of a $500 billion valuation.
Oh, what percentage does Zuckerberg own of Facebook?
I don't know off the top of my
head,
but it's even more.
It is more.
It's a giant... Wait, maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Is there
it's
any
a giant chunk because Zuckerberg isn't as rich as Bezos.
Sure.
He's
and up
Facebook,
there,
Facebook is also about 500 billion.
He owns 28.2%
Is there any
of Facebook?
So I don't know why he's not as rich. I can't do the math in my head.
Because Amazon's more valuable than Facebook, or is it not?
No, they're both just as valuable as each other, but maybe they're factoring in some other stuff as far as like Jeff's, I don't know, the number of jets he has.
The Washington Post.
The Washington Post, which he bought for $250
million. I don't know. I went to whoowownsfacebook.com. I don't know if that's a reliable source.
That's a website?
That is a website that Google was confident enough in having be
sure.
An instant result.
Is there any like large company like Facebook, like Amazon, where one single person owns 50.1%?
So I think with Facebook, Zuckerberg doesn't own that much of the company, but I think he has like a majority voting.
Sure.
So like what Zuck says goes at Facebook. But
well, that's the thing. Like the majority is rarely more than 50%. Like it's usually because of so many owning shares, right? Like you could have the majority at like 15
or like a controlling stake like what I say goes.
Exactly.
Not necessarily though. I mean, if you, let's say you have 20, but everyone else has 5, everyone could theoretically
plan to
gather together and do a hostile takeover.
So either way, like going back to like Jeff briefly becoming the world's richest person, everybody was expecting this to happen. Amazon's been on a tear this year. The only reason it hadn't happened sooner is because Microsoft, which Bill Gates has a huge stake in, has also been skyrocketing in price. So for like, I don't know, a couple hours, Microsoft is doing really well with like B2B stuff.
Sure.
Like, you know, their cloud services.
Yeah.
They still do really well with Office.
Yeah.
They've been doing surprisingly well lately, considering that they're like now quote unquote like legacy tech.
I think Microsoft has a future for sure.
They're doing awesome.
Yeah,
like they're like minting cash.
Why are you using Office, guys? Just use Drive, go Google Docs. Why?
I don't know.
All these companies are like taking over everything. It's Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Apple. Like those are the five companies that matter right now. And like, who is going to be able to like come in and like step on them?
Totally.
Like
it's
hard to say.
It's true. We're in a weird sort of,
I mean, that's
like they're monopolizing like huge segments of like our economy
and the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
George Hurst.
That's a scary kind of thing to think about.
Right. We also we deify these people they're awesome.
So who would you think is like our best person in the billionaire club?
Like most innovative?
Innovative and charitable and sort of humanitarian. Like, you know,
God, I want to say Warren Buffett, I've never met the guy and that might all be a shtick.
It's also, I wouldn't say Warren Buffett's necessarily innovative. I mean, he's obviously a genius investor.
He seems like a really nice guy.
He does
from
seem
afar.
Like a sweetheart.
Yeah.
It seems like you would want to have lunch with him.
Yeah, but like, what if he's super evil? Right. Like, how would I know that?
Because there's no evidence of his evilness. Like,
he's had the opportunity and hasn't seemingly taken advantage of it.
Yeah, like he didn't buy the moon.
Elon Musk. That's true. Theoretically, I think in my brain, I think Elon Musk for innovation and richness and power, and so far what he's done, I don't think has been evil. I can think of.
I wouldn't want to have a beer with the guy.
No, he seems
I feel like he'd
prick.
Dominate the conversation. Yeah.
He's
like,
a gamer. I could talk about video games with him.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. He kind of threw a lot of shade at Zuckerberg the other day. I thought that was kind of a cheap shot. He's
about
like, you don't
AI.
Know anything about AI.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like particularly warm.
He doesn't
seem
like a friendly dude.
I would not. I mean, like, granted, Elon, you want to like go out to lunch? Of course, I'm going to say yes.
Of course,
but I'm not
going to
like it.
No,
I'm not going to. I mean, like, maybe, I'll have like a burger.
But maybe you
I'll run out pretty quickly.
Maybe you would. You know, your mind would get changed after the lunch. Maybe you would.
You're right.
You know,
you're right. I'm open minded.
Yeah.
What I don't understand with him is like, you know, they talk about this the super tube train thing that's going to go from New York to DC.
Hyperloop.
That we can't even figure out a new tunnel from Jersey to Manhattan.
Oh my God, totally.
Well, like, I don't understand why people are like, the future is now. No.
Because Elon said so.
Broken. No, but everything's broken.
Don't you think a lot of that has to do with state and federal funding?
It does.
So and it's not like it's a private company coming.
You're right. It's not a logistical problem. It's a monetary.
Well, there's logistical, major logistical problems.
I'm sure. I mean, look, they did it 105 years ago.
I also like his company name for the company that digs the boring
tunnels.
The boring company.
Well, it's a double entendre.
It's funny.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay. It is funny. Fine, whatever. That's the name of his company. Who cares? I don't know. He just seems so nonchalant about building a 400-mile tunnel.
That's some baller shit right there.
It is huge baller shit.
He says a lot of stuff. I'd like to see him do some of this stuff. I mean, I know that he did the rocket stuff. You're right. But he does a lot of. But he does a lot of presentations where he's like, you know, we're going to be in Mars by Wednesday.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, guys. I'm like, relax, buddy.
Sure. I would say more so than most people who talk out of their ass, it seems like he's been backing up a lot of the stuff. Like he talks about like the battery storing, like solar power stuff. And then it's like, here it is. You could buy it tomorrow. Like a lot of that stuff has happened.
He delivers. So he delivers.
Props to him.
Fine.
The cars are coming up.
I begrudgingly agree with this.
People are getting their threes. They're getting their Model 3s. Like, the thing is being made.
It's not like it got kickstarted and, like, never happened.
It's not a ton of vaporware.
Do you cover Tesla that much?
No. No, but, like, I pay attention to it just like everybody else has to. Because, guy is, like, super flashy. Yeah. He very much is, like, the Tony Stark of our world.
I need somebody to explain to me why their stock is so volatile then. Like, Tesla is this company that is changing the face of transportation, why are they seemingly in this precarious stock situation?
This would be my guess, and BFR, correct me if you think I'm wrong. My guess is, so they're obviously kind of leading the charge in this very...
I get it.
That was not intentional, but it worked out. Leading the supercharge. So they're pushing into this new territory and obviously dominating that space right now in a similar way that like Netflix did, where they like pushed into a really weird market space and ended up putting a Blockbuster out of business. And whenever this sort of thing happens, you invariably get other existing very large companies like Apple or Google, whoever, are like, oh, that's a good idea. We're going to take as much as we can legally from what they're doing and make it better and really go at them. And then you're like, okay, is this company going to survive an onslaught from Apple and Google and whoever else? And it becomes like this, it is a bet, which is to say, like, you know what? They have enough stored capital. They have enough innovation. They're standing themselves apart. So it's worth it. But it's still like, oh no, Apple announces that they're getting into whatever, driverless cars or electric cars. Suddenly Tesla's going to take a hit because they have this brand new competition. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
That's not a bad explanation. I'll buy that. I'll buy what you're selling.
I think the volatility in the stock is not entirely related to whether people are trading on the idea, whether it's going to be a going concern on this day or the next.
Right.
They're not a profitable company. And anytime they come out with their earnings, basically the bean counters, you know, all the different analysts go and they look and they say, oh, we were expecting them to grow by X amount.
Right.
And if they don't grow by that amount, then the stock takes a huge hit because folks are expecting them in year one, it's supposed to get to this point. Mm-hmm. By year five, it's supposed to get to this point. They have one bad quarter.
Yep.
This is a hyper growth company. It takes a lot out of their stock price. Huh. So that is an element as far as these hyper growth companies that are growing revenue like crazy.
Yeah.
That's a big element. You have to look at like the financial models.
Yeah, that's something I don't really consider a lot. I should.
I mean, like, hopefully that's helpful because that's generally what ends up happening. Like when one of these like really fast growing companies has one bad quarter and then the stock tanks, that's why. Because the stock is like an assumption of how this company is going to be 3 years from now, five years from now.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some nerd math.
As if this wasn't nerdy enough today.
That's it. We're staying in the theme of nerddom. And we're going to switch to math because I think math is really cool, even though I'm not very good at it. More 404 right after this. Hey, shout out to our sponsor this week, HostGator. If you're a small business owner or you're a first-time blogger like Russ Frushtick, who's never been on the internet before.
Nope, never.
HostGator has all the tools you need to create and host a website, even an online store where you can sell your little wares.
Mm-hmm. When you're getting a site, do you have to put it like a stick in its mouth, or can you just like reach in?
It's not an actual alligator, Russ, you moron. They've got a drag-and-drop website builder. It's not a reptilian in nature at all.
No, that's much better.
And a mobile-friendly template designer that makes it easy to create great-looking websites and, most importantly, super fast. There's 24/7 live expert support. Not to mention, if you ever need a boost in hosting power, HostGator offers cloud VPS and dedicated server hosting that can easily handle all the millions of users that you're going to get on your website.
That's a lot.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing to lose. Right now, we're giving our listeners 60% off. That's 60. That is a lot. Go to HostGator.com/CNET to get started with your 60% off today. Okay, welcome back to the show, everybody. So I want to talk about this math thing. If you listen to the Giant Beastcast, this is going to be a bit of a rerun segment for you, but I am I've been like very intrigued by this thing that happened the other day, or last week rather. So for whatever reason, I have 6 20-sided dice at my desk.
Okay.
I've had them there for years. I don't know how they got there. They've just always been there. And I don't really use them for anything.
Is this like a monkey D&D paw guy situation?
No, this isn't a monkey paw situation. What is that? Is that like
it just
wishes?
Appeared one day?
Right.
And granted just, like you said, 3 wishes.
It's just always sort of been there. I don't remember how I came into owning them, but nevertheless, I do. So last week we were talking. Someone came by the desks. Mark and I were talking to this person, and she started rolling the dice into like a little, you know, draw. Sure. I had open. She kept rolling them. And we kept noticing that, like, oh, wow, the same number kind of comes up more than you would think on 2 or more of the dice.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course, Russ? Shh, let me go. And then okay. You'll explain. Fine. You're so fucking smart. You know, like you roll the dice, right? Like I brought them here with me now. You roll the dice and you roll 6 dice.
Nice sound effects.
And look, like, there's 2 tens.
All right. That just blew my mind.
Okay. So we would roll.
Do it again.
So we roll it again. And, you know, you keep rolling the dice and you're like, oh, okay. Nothing there. Right. So right now we're at 50%. Right. We kept rolling and rolling. You want to try it out there, Ben? We kept rolling and rolling and rolling.
Let us know if those are fake dice.
They're not loaded. They're not loaded. Fake 2 14s.
Okay.
What?
Right.
All right.
You guys are both idiots.
This is starting to wig me out.
You, Russ.
Continue.
This is wigging me out.
Continue.
These are 20-sided dice.
20-sided dice.
Is there any more revelation before I can sort of explain what's going on here?
2 13s.
Okay.
So
this is actually happening more often than I expected.
Right, so we're rolling 75% now. That seems very high. We rolled roughly 20 times, and it was like 16.
That's good radio.
What's that?
It's good radio.
Well, it sounds nice.
What? Oh, the dice sound?
I thought you meant on the Beastcast, you rolled 16.
No. This was the other day. Okay. I just explained this.
I understand.
And on the Beastcast, no one understood why this was happening. Except Russ,
there are a bunch of beasts.
Russ is okay. 2 ones. Russ is a freaking math genius, I guess. So just now, 4 out of 5 times.
Yep.
Okay?
It's as 80%. It was happening.
Right now, 80% of the time, which is a very small sample.
Yeah.
Let's not forget. We're rolling with the So I'm looking at everyone around and we're like, why is this happening way more than you think it would?
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it. So I went to Twitter and Twitter in about 4 seconds wrote back and like wrote the math out for me too.
Sure.
Why? Now, Ben, clearly Russ is so far up his own ass about this that he knows it. He knows the reason why this is happening. What do you think the percentage is?
I used to do probability and statistics. Like, I tried to, like, I saw...
Then what's the problem?
Yeah, why are you surprised?
It's been a while.
Like, I understand.
I forgot all this math, high school.
Of course. And there's 2 things to consider here. One is the hard, concrete math, and 2 is the psychology of it. And the psychology of it is why people have such a hard time believing. So, Ben, what do you think the percentages are where you, on any given random roll, 6 20-sided dice, 2 or more of the dice are going to have the same number?
I mean, like, my immediate impression pulling it right out of my ass would be something out of like 25 to 33%.
Right, low.
One would assume.
Low.
Right, because it's 20-sided dice.
It turns out, Russ, what's the answer?
I don't know what the percentage is.
What's the answer, Russ?
Oh, come on.
I don't know what the percentage is, but I can explain to you why it's much higher than that.
How much higher?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Just guess.
Go on. Yeah, I want you
because
to guess.
Jeff,
take a guess.
Jeff actually has the answer.
I know the exact percentage.
I would guess 85%.
No, that don't be. Don't. That's crazy.
66%.
It's like 56. Yeah. Okay.
So, that's a lot higher than I might have assumed.
So before I talk about like my, because I'm not good at math either. And a lot of this comes from my dad, who is an accountant and like super math driven and like blew my mind at an early age, not with this experiment, but another experiment that I'll explain in a second. If you're in a, let's say you're at a party and there's 30 people at the party.
No, don't do the birthday paradox.
Why?
That's what this is.
That's what this is.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
So I'd always.
Let me do the birthday paradox sure. then we can.
I had always known about that too.
It's the same exact idea.
But I didn't connect them.
You've never heard of this, right?
The birthday paradox also was in my probability and statistics class.
So you're familiar.
Which was if you have, I think it's 13 people in a room, the likelihood that two people have the same birthday party are like close to like 100%.
I think you need more.
He said birthday party.
I like that too. They're both having the same birthday party.
They're both having the same bowling alley
birthday
party.
There are two people.
No. So it's 23 people and it's 50%.
Yeah. So if you have 30, it's like,
I got my numbers off.
Yeah.
Right. But the whole idea is that, okay, so you have two people, let's say you've got two people and the odds are obviously very low that they're going to have the same birthday, but then you're not comparing the first birthday to everyone else's birthday, you're comparing everyone's birthdays to everyone else's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a way more combinations. It's like whatever, 30 times 29 times 28 times 27 all the way down. You know, the exclamation point in math.
Yes.
That represent. Bleh. Anyway.
What kind of math is that?
I think it's statistics.
Yeah, no, probably. But is it like one of those fancy words?
There's a term for the exclamation point that I don't remember because it's been too long.
But yeah, I tried to do some of the, when I saw Jeff's tweet, I tried to do some of this in my head and immediately gave up. Because like I wasn't sure exactly what the math was, but you'll get into this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You're right. The psychology is a big part of it because in your brain, because you're not really thinking of it yet, you're like, oh, weird. They keep matching, but you're not before. It's not what you're saying. I'll bet there's going to be a bunch of sixes this time.
Oh no, that's way less. That's way less.
You can't do that.
Yeah, and I vividly recall our teacher told us this during our probability and statistics class. And like there were maybe 20 people in the classroom.
Yeah.
We went around and did it. And lo and behold, boom, we got a match.
What's crazier is when you get up to like, I think it's 75 people in a room. The chance that any two people have the same birthday is like 99.9% chance.
Even higher if they're mostly twins.
See, we're having a serious conversation, Ben, and then Russ just takes the wheel and goes, we're going to go and do this.
I mean, like, but, you know, he's just throwing in real politics into the situation. This is the way the world is.
It is the way the world is. So, right, the psychology of it is, you're 100% right, where your brain is just like, fuck that. There's no way, right? But in reality, it's incredibly high.
Yes.
So, yeah, I thought that was crazy. So, if you want to know what the math is, here's... If you didn't think we were getting nerdy before, here's where the... So, like, do you know... You know the math, right?
I know kind of the basics of the math, yes.
So, the math is interesting because the way you get to the answer is kind of working with the opposite scenario, where... So, the person who wrote me on Twitter, at Mike Agresta, he said the odds that six 20-sided dice come up with two or more... is when so if you go to the opposite of that, where they're all different, right? The probability is the number one minus D, where D equals six different rolls.
Yeah.
Right? So one is a match, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite of that would be minus the amount of rolls. So you roll the first one. So it's the math is basically 19 over 20 times 18 over 20 times 17 over 20 and so on until you get the answer to that is 0.436. When you do one, the number one minus 0.436,
56%.
There's your 56%.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I that blew me away. I thought that was crazy. I guess I only played to half the crowd here because Ben, you were a great sport. Russ, on the other hand,
sorry.
I enjoyed it. We've got some great sound effects.
I was very, very impressed when I was 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're such a dick.
God damn it, Russ. That's okay.
You're so mean.
I know.
It's fine.
Didn't learn this when you were 10.
I actually, yeah. That's what I was at a family reunion and my dad
What was that? Did you learn the game show thing? The game show thing I've always enjoyed too.
I still can't wrap my head
around. I tried to describe that to some of my friends at a bachelor party. Please. Nobody.
I still can't. And I've spent like an hour reading a Wikipedia entry.
People were shouting me down. Yeah. They were like, shut up, Ben. You're full of crap.
Don't hold out. What the hell is it?
Okay, so you're at a game show. There was a specific game show where they actually did this. It's like, let's make a deal. Like that.
There's three curtains, right?
There are three curtains or three doors, right? And one of them has two of them have a goat behind it, and one of them is a shiny new car.
Okay,
and you get two rounds. You get to pick one door, and if you don't get the prize, then you get to switch. Wait a minute. I'm saying it wrong. Hold it. Let me start over.
Okay.
So there are three doors. Two are goats. One's a car. Mm-hmm. You pick one of the doors.
Yes.
Let's say you pick door number one.
Yes.
Then the game show host goes and opens one of the two other doors. Let's say he opens door number two. Then you've only got door number one and three. Mm-hmm. Asks you if you want to change your pick to door number three from door number one.
Yep.
You can either stick with door number one, switch to door number three, and then you either get a shiny new car or a goat. The probability stipulates that you should always switch.
Yes.
Because the likelihood of you getting the shiny new car if you switch is 66%.
This is the issue, because in your head, you're like, okay, it's the same math.
Right. You would assume it's the same math, but it isn't.
Was 33 when it started.
33 when it started, sure.
But now it's different. I think I get it. It's not 50-50 anymore.
That's the problem. Is psychologically, you thought it was 33 before, and now you think it's 50% because they opened 50%. One of the doors.
It's not 50%.
It's because it's literally during round. It's still as if you're still in round one.
Right.
So your chances are 33% before, and now if you switch, it's as if you picked the two other doors. That's why it's a 33% chance.
Because one of the doors has been eliminated.
Yeah,
but it doesn't change the probability from round one.
It also obviously doesn't change behind what's the doors.
Exactly.
but your chances,
there's a New York Times article about this, and they actually have a simulation where you can switch the doors. And lo and behold, every single time you switch, you are far more likely to actually get the car.
So when you talk about the psychology of it all.
Yeah.
The reason it almost feels like time travel. Because you're basically, your brain can't get around the fact that because your odds were so much worse before the first choice,
yeah,
that like choosing again gives you somehow this invisible advantage.
But people are stubborn. Yeah. This is the psychology
totally.
Too.
Oh, totally.
If I pick door number one the first time, dadgummit, I'm going to stick to it.
I know. Right. Dude, this is like quantum physics.
I'm glad you guys like that one. It shouldn't be that complicated, but it is.
But it is. So I have like an abstract understanding of it.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm right about in the beginning it being 33%.
Yeah,
it is.
It's one in three.
Okay, so one in three, sure. Right? One in three. That we can all agree on.
Okay.
Okay. The second you make that choice.
Right.
Okay. Then that's the end of that, right?
Fine.
You now have taken one of those away.
Okay.
Right? So one of them no longer exists.
Sure.
So you've already made your choice,
right?
But your choice somehow is like
less informed than the other choice.
Yes.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
And
to
that
me.
Like mis- that like
if you
magic.
Had that information before you had picked, you would have greater odds at the beginning.
Right. That is like it's like legacy odds that are staying through the whole picking.
Legacy odds
is interesting, but in your brain, you're like. Right, yeah, okay.
which is why it was on a game show,
right.
Because they're feeding off of the human psychology.
Sure.
Right? You don't want to make the switch.
Right.
You feel like this was your lucky pick.
Good TV.
It was good TV.
There is like freak math behind it.
Yeah, it's really
interesting. It's like magic math.
It's people think that the probabilities reset after one of the doors opens.
They don't.
And it doesn't.
That's
you know,
what
you
it
have
is.
A 1 in 3 chance if you stick with your original, and you have a 2 in 3 chance if you switch. And that's it. I mean, like, but that
yeah,
is
it's
100%.
I claim to vaguely understand it, but I don't. I'm like accepting it.
But okay, one second.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, when they narrowed down to two doors and you've stayed.
If they started over. They started over.
Yeah.
And that door didn't get revealed.
Sure.
The odds are 50-50. Like, if this started out where you have two doors, and one's got a goat and one's got a car.
Oh, and you don't
then
know.
Then it's only 50.
Yeah, I understand. So you don't, and you don't know whether they removed a prize
right.
or not.
But if things have been changed.
They don't do animals on, like, Price is
no,
Right anymore,
No, they
huh?
don't. Did they ever? Did they have, like, donkeys?
I don't know.
Are we, is on Price is Right, probably not. I think on Let's Make a Deal, that was a big thing. Actually, there was a game show. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart wins an elephant.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, you're not, that's like the joke prize. Don't actually. And he demands the elephant. That's based on real life. There was a joke elephant and the person sued to get the elephant.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah, but think about it. Elephant's worth probably a lot of money.
Man, I love The Simpsons.
I mean, I realized amazing. He didn't want to like buy
the. There's a lot of downside.
Yeah, he didn't want to like consolidate.
The trampling.
Yeah. He didn't want to like Stampy. Chop it up. You know,
but, Stampy. That's right.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. I love you, Math. We're gonna have to change the name of the show
to "I Love You, Math."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before we say goodbye, I got some hands-on time with the retro Atari console and the retro Sega Genesis.
Were you old enough to like have an Atari and remember playing it?
So yeah, my parents,
I did.
My dad definitely had an Atari. He had probably like 10 games for it. It was so weird. Like, this is more of a side story, but my dad had Atari. I was probably 2 or 3 when he got it. And that was it. He wasn't interested in any other video games after that. Like,
yeah, my
NES.
Dad was the same way.
And I don't understand how you don't like make that jump. Like the logical jump was Atari to NES or Atari and television NES, whatever that.
It's the same people that like love Tetris and that's all they ever.
Yeah,
bought.
I guess you're right. Anyway, I had a 2600. I'm pretty sure it was a 2600. It could have been a 5200.
Sure.
And I remember vaguely like. Real rough early Jeff Life playing some of those, but my biggest first memories are NES.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, this company called At Games is selling this retro console, obviously trying to cash in off the ripple effect from the NES Super NES
and
Classic.
They've had these before.
They have. These aren't anything new. The only thing new is I think they have HDMI out ports.
Oh,
now.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, that's good, but the whole everything else is bad.
Oh,
I mean,
they're not good. How much do they cost?
$80 each.
$80
for the now again that's for like the high end ones. I think there's like there's different flavors you can get ones with like less games on it. So with Atari, the Atari one's almost better than the Sega one because the Atari one the collection of games feels more complete.
Sure.
The Genesis one is just like 11 decent games and then just like weird. I don't even remember being games.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some Mr. Balls. Do you remember a game called Mr. Balls?
Very vaguely.
I
don't know. I feel like we're all being had by this whole retro.
I think we're being a little had. Not by the Nintendo ones. The Nintendo ones are legit.
No, but this whole retro surge.
Yeah.
The retro fad is like, they already have the IP. They already made all their money back on this stuff back in the 80s. And now they're just dusting it off.
It's smart.
Selling it for $80. That sounds way too expensive.
I mean, I think it's a good value for Nintendo. I think the more, quote, had situation is, I think a lot of people have fond memories of playing these games. I certainly do growing up. The question is, realistically, are you going to sit around and play through these games again? And is it worth
just like having it?
The Atari, dude, the Atari stuff.
No, I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about like, are you going to play through Zelda, SNES again? I don't know. Maybe you will. But I think a lot of these people want to like capture it and then it's going to sit moldering in your cabinet for a while.
I just know that there are hacked versions of this stuff that have existed online.
That's illegal. That's
theft.
That's illegal.
So if you want to.
Okay, sorry.
Also, I should mention, Ben, if you go to the supermarket, you don't actually have to pay for anything. You can just eat it there and leave.
I'm not saying that I haven't done that before.
I can't count how many times I've just left a series of Apple cores in my shopping cart.
Whenever anyone pulls out their wallet, it's fair game. You just yoink.
Yeah, guys. Is the Atari Flashback 8 Gold, which contains...
Wait, it's called the 8 Gold?
Yeah, the number 8 Gold.
That's weird. Okay.
That has like save states, rewind functionality.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They do have like a lot of models.
And it comes with a lot of different games. Yeah. That's $80 effing. 120 built in classic.
Two controllers or one?
Two wireless joystick controllers.
Oh, wireless is nice.
It's nice, but that joystick controller is hot garbage.
That's true.
And then the Genesis one, it's not that good. It's just not good.
Why? The games?
The games feel weird, too. The emulation feels off. Oh,
you think it's bad?
I think Nintendo, it's bad emulation.
Say what you will about Nintendo. They spend a crazy amount of time. They recreate the slowdown that the original SNES had when you played those games.
I don't think they're recreating the slowdown. You think they're like programming in the slowdown?
No, they're not programming. Well, they're designing it in such a way that they're using the same.
I think they're emulating the exact chipset where they're like, look, this is, you're going to get X amount of performance out of this. That's what we're giving it. We're not going to make anything perform better.
Do you think some of that has to do with the fact that like this is Nintendo stuff? Nintendo still exists as a company for all these decades.
I mean, whereas Atari's still a company.
Like Sega and Atari aren't making those. They're not making consoles. Yeah, so like there may have been something lost in translation.
I think there's a pedigree situation. Nintendo considers themselves like an A tier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, but like don't tell me Sega couldn't team up with some manufacturer and really nail this correctly.
Whether they care.
It's a money grab.
They just want this licensing money, I guess. I don't know, but it's not good. They're not good. The both of them are not good.
Can I say kind of a neat thing from that era of video games?
If you want to say the word neat, sure.
Neato. If you played video games from that era, like early NES games, you might have remembered like when there was a bunch of stuff on the screen, everything would blink.
Yeah.
It would be like a lot of like blinky things. Like your character would blink for no reason. And it was because the memory was so low that they could only have a certain amount of things. Sorry, I'm going to die.
Russ gets very choked up when he talks about nostalgia.
Amount of things on screen at the same time. So the way they fooled the machine was by blinking your character out of existence and blinking something else in and interchanging that. So effectively, there was only one thing at a given time, but your brain...
That's like how a microwave works.
Essentially. It's cool. They did a lot of weird stuff back then to make those games work.
There was a lot of trickery. I mean, you can just tell when you find out the size of these games.
Like, it's like 6K.
Right. Dude, the people who've hacked the mini NES, like the games, I shit you not, are like 20K.
Yeah.
I just, when you were playing those games, did that like nostalgia like come over you? I'm a little nervous about revisiting some of this stuff.
Don't be nervous. Embrace
because the memory of it is crystallized.
Right.
Part of me doesn't want to go there. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying. So oddly enough, a couple days ago when I was playing the Atari stuff, like a few of those games, I was like instantly shot back 30 years.
Sure.
To the point where like, I haven't had that memory awaken in a very long time.
That's cool.
That was weird. Especially the Atari pinball that I remember playing. And it was like, oh my God, that was truly a trip. NES stuff doesn't really do it for me as much just because I feel like since the NES has come out, I have played a lot of that. I think like, you know, the longest time that I went without playing like Baseball Stars or like Mario Brothers 3 was maybe like 10 years at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So however nostalgic you can get for a decade. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
But that's
useful though. Yeah, I think you kind of sold me on the idea of at least trying.
Just try it. Don't buy it. Don't buy it.
Try it. Don't buy it.
Scott has it as his desk.
Just steal Scott's.
The way you operate. Yeah. Just steal things.
I'm not saying I steal things all the time, but come on. I'm a lowly journalist. You got to steal sometimes to survive.
Hey, it's a doggy dog world. And that's Ben leading the charge there. Thank you so much for being here, Mr. Ben Fox Rubin.
But of course.
Please follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Fox Rubin. Russ, what's cooking? What's cooking with you?
Same old, same old. YouTube on Polygon, a bunch of videos there. I'm going to be gone next week. I'm going to go to Portland. I don't know if Jeff's going to be here.
Which Portland?
Yeah, which one?
The good one.
The left one? No.
The main one? Portland, Maine is the good one.
Yeah, they're both pretty good.
I'm going to the left one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the left Portland?
We're doing a big all-hands group meeting.
Does Polygon, have they heard of telephones?
No. Is this an option?
Jeff is still sore from you crapping on his math.
I know. I'm sorry, Jeff. You're very smart.
I'm not. This isn't an intelligence thing. This was like, let me have my fun with weird math.
I tried.
Son of a, like the second I even went over to grab the dice, Russ is like, yeah, I got you figured out, dumbass.
This is nothing.
It's like you're running a three-card Monty game on the street. And it's like, nah, Russ is like,
I got you.
Russ Where's like, the queen?
This is nothing. This is nothing but an optical illusion, and I'll have you know.
Indeed.
Well, thanks for pooping in my salad. Russ, I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
That's going to do it for us. Shoot us an email at 404@cnet.com and hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Backler. Russ is at Russ Frushtick, and you heard Ben's. Please do that. And we'll see you guys next time. Have a fantastic weekend. Until then. Hey, another shout out to HostGator. Don't forget, you can take your website from dream to reality with HostGator, their drag and drop website builder, and 24/7 live support make it easy to get your site up and running really fast. There's free website transfers, so if you're coming from another host, don't worry about that. Plus, that 45-day money-back guarantee is something to get excited about. Right now, 404 listeners are going to get 60% off. Just go to HostGator.com/CNET and get that 60% off. Right now.